This is Week in Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The threat environment we find ourselves in today is as bad as it was last summer, the summer before 9/11. It is serious. They have reconstituted. They're coming after us. They want to execute attacks. You see it in Bali. You see it in Kuwait. They plan in multiple theaters of operation. They intend to strike this homeland again, and we better get about the business of putting the right structure in place as fast as we can.
CIA Director George Tenet testifying before a joint Congressional Intelligence Committee in a week that saw terrorist strikes in several points around the globe. More than 180 people were killed in a nightclub in Bali, more than 10 killed, more than 150 others wounded in the Philippines, all from terrorist attacks. Dan Shore is away this week, so we're joined by Hendrik Hertzberg, senior editor of The New Yorker magazine, in our studios in New York. Rick, thanks very much for being back with us.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, we will add, as Director Tenet did, the attacks on U.S. soldiers in Kuwait. In your judgment, judging as best as we can, are we seeing from al-Qaeda and its allies a new series of coordinated assaults?
Well, that's certainly what Tenet is leading us to believe in the statement we just heard. And there's no reason to doubt it. If these things are not connected sort of by person to person, they're certainly connected in a larger sense. It's all part of the same thing, and they're certainly connected in our minds and in our anxieties.
Have we, and I'm just speaking as citizens, been so focused on the possibility of another huge strike, another great tower coming down or attack on a government building, that perhaps we haven't recognized a pattern of smaller assaults that seem to be accumulating around the globe?
Well, what's frustrating is that we as citizens can't do much about it either way. We can only hope that the government and the authorities are on top of the situation. But one of the terrible things about this whole situation in the past year, ever since last September 11th, mm-hmm. is this kind of feeling of helplessness.
That's a feeling that I think is the story of the sniper in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. continues, comes through very clearly in the accounts. Now, of course, we have to be careful in saying that authorities there in Montgomery County, Maryland, who are coordinating the investigation, do not believe that a foreign-based terrorist attack is obviously responsible, although it must be said there are some commentators this week who have questioned that. Do we learn something about the nature of terrorism in these sniper shootings?
Well, we learn how easy it is to spread terror and spread anxiety, and how one man with a gun can mobilize huge numbers of people to try to get to him and waste huge amounts of energy and public resources. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens now is seen through this sort of fog of terror. It's the first question we ask when we hear of any kind of violent incident. Is this somehow part of this whole terror miasma?
Mm-hmm. I want to turn to the U.S. position in front of the U.N. Security Council this week, because the United States did seem to make some progress in winning U.N. sanctions for using force against Saddam Hussein. Do you think the proposed compromise is going to pass the Security Council?
Well, I don't have any particular expertise in it, but I suspect
you're sitting
will.
Just a couple blocks away from there, Rick. We thought that maybe you'd talk to
right.
someone on your way over.
That's right. And I have a Ouija board here that tells me. I think so. That would be my guess. I think that the kind of prestige and energy that that the State Department and the U.S. government is investing in this, they have to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe the Bush administration will feel they have everything in the quiver they need to proceed with a policy against Iraq?
I think they already feel that, whether they get it or not. But it's been interesting to see how the administration has been pulled toward the position that many of its critics asked it to take. It's a question of how sincere that position is, whether the mm-hmm. administration is capable of taking yes for an answer, and which parts of it are capable of taking yes for an answer. But, mm-hmm. of course, we don't know whether yes is an answer that Saddam Hussein is prepared to give.
Let's certainly turn to the alarming news this week from North Korea, the chilling revelation that the government there has been pursuing a secret nuclear weapons program. And let's tie this to Iraq in the first question. Do you believe this revelation is going to detract from or shore up the administration argument that Iraq is an immediate threat that has to be dealt with over the next few months?
I think ultimately it might actually shore up that argument. this secret nuclear program is evidently not a secret from American intelligence on the whole. Mm-hmm. It's known of something of this nature for 10 years since the first Bush administration, and there's a widespread belief in that community that the North Koreans have had nuclear weapons for 10 years. North Korea is different from Iraq. North Korea can be handled differently from Iraq, and I think that that will actually, in many ways, strengthen the administration's case for moving against Iraq.
Mm-hmm. That there is a military option in Iraq that doesn't exist in Korea?
There's a military option in Iraq that is logical in a way that a military option in North Korea is not logical. Mm-hmm. North Korea's behavior, on balance, has actually improved over the last 10 years and even over the last 2 or 3 years. The fact that this revelation was made, the revelations about the kidnappings of Japanese, it's hard to follow and understand what's going on in that mysterious kind of magic nightmare kingdom of North Korea. Mm-hmm. But something is on the move there. We just don't know quite what.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the fact that, according to reports, Pakistan, or elements in Pakistan, may have been the primary source for the technology and equipment that was made available to North Korea in developing these weapons? Pakistan, a country that's been an absolute linchpin in U.S. policy against the terrorist assaults.
Yeah, Pakistan is a really scary country. what's been happening there? It's a failed state in many ways. It has nuclear weapons. It is an example of the fact that democracy is a double-edged sword. The danger that when you have elections and there's a large Islamic fundamentalist political movement, mm-hmm. That it could be your last election, or that the outcome can be pretty dreadful. It's all along, Pakistan has been the scariest of all the countries involved in this great terrorist narrative.
Rick, I know you've been paying particular attention to the governor's race in Florida, where the Democratic challenger, now the candidate, Bill McBride, who beat back a strong challenge from Janet Reno, has been coming close to incumbent Governor Jeb Bush, at least in the polls. What's your analysis of what we're seeing at work there?
Well, I think in a way it's a kind of controlled experiment in what politics might look like if it hadn't been for September 11th. Here is a Bush. Here is an election where September 11th, terrorism, international affairs, is not an issue. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely dead even though incumbent governors generally triumph, and governors are almost always reelected. Jeb Bush was a pretty popular governor. This has to do with the 2000 election. McBride's victory over Janet Reno kind of cleared the path, mm-hmm. Cleaned the slate, and now we have a very interesting face-off. The momentum seems to be with Bill McBride in this election.
Okay. Rick, nice talking to you, and glad we didn't end a week in review without using the word momentum as we advance into an election. Now I know we're really in election coverage. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Hendrik Hertzberg of The New Yorker Magazine.